Hello everybody. This is the translation of Joel's message for Sunday, the 28th of December. Today is the last Sunday of the year. Christmas is already behind us and in 3 days we will be entering 2026. When we reach this time of year, we traditionally talk about reflection time. And on this subject, there's a saying in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 8, that says, "The end of a thing is better than its beginning." Now, as you know, it's always a bit risky to quote a passage from the Bible out of context, but I believe that this remark from Ecclesiastes can perhaps at least encourage us to reflect on where we are at the end of this year and to take the necessary time to learn from everything we've experienced since the beginning of 2025. And then in the same breath, it's also the time for New Year's resolutions. Well, in a few days, at New Year. And here, perhaps for most of us, we're in the realm of fiction, because New Year's resolutions, especially conventional ones, are incredibly short-lived. And then for us Christians, in an increasingly complicated, uncertain, and increasingly directionless world, it's surely helpful to take stock, to honestly reflect on our experiences. So I'm simply proposing a little process, a review of the past year and goals for the coming year. Firstly, review. It's clear that reviewing the past year is first and foremost a personal matter. I can't review someone else's year. Each of us individually can look back and take stock of these past 12 months. And what would be most interesting now, much more than just hearing my own reflections, would be for us to listen to each other. But unfortunately, we don't have the time for such a sharing this morning, perhaps another time. Taking stock means an honest analysis of the situation, that is, looking at the facts without denial, without hiding the shadows. But for all the negative aspects, the mistakes, the faults committed, we know the remedy, and if there is still something that isn't resolved with God at the end of this year, I will quote only two passages. Firstly, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." And secondly, Psalm 32, verse 5. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." An obvious truth that can never be repeated enough. For God, it is not the number or severity of our sins that is an obstacle to our relationship with him. He himself paid the debt of our sin. The only thing he expects from us is our faith. But for this morning, I have chosen to focus on the positive aspects of this reflection. There are a thousand ways to do this, but I suggest we start with the many promises God makes to us in his word. And I invite you, if you wish, to choose just a few from among a multitude of others and to do the simple exercise together of asking ourselves this question: how have God's promises been fulfilled in my life in 2025? This practice is strongly encouraged. Many texts invite us to do so, such as Psalm chapter 103 in verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Or as the hymn says, "Count the benefits of God and set them before your eyes." Matthew chapter 28 verse 20 says, "I am with you always." There is an expression we all use which emphasises our feelings when we say that we felt the presence of the Lord in a tangible or concrete way. The question we can ask ourselves is, looking back on the past year, can I recognise that God's presence was truly real, even if I didn't perceive it through my senses? Can I testify now that God was indeed there with me every day and in every situation I experienced? We read in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This promise is especially precious for all of us since it invites us to tell God our expectations, our needs, without any reservations. And it assures us of God's loving care, even if the response isn't necessarily what we expected. Can I recognise today all the times when God has taken the burden for me, and when he has cared for me beyond even what I hoped for? We read in Psalm chapter 12 and verse 5, "The Lord is your stronghold, the Lord is at your side like a protective shade." Who among us doesn't regularly have moments when we feel a need for protection? Have we experienced moments this year where the Lord's special protection was evident? On the road or in a difficult situation when we had imagined the worst? Psalm chapter 34 and verse 7 tells us, "When the afflicted cry out, the Lord hears them, he saves them from all their troubles." Reading this promise quickly, one might easily think that this is far from always being the case. But we must read carefully what this verse declares. It doesn't say that God will remove all obstacles or heal all ills instantly. It promises that God saves us from distress, meaning that he allows us to go through trials in peace and confidence. Even if external circumstances don't change, God intervenes in our hearts, in our inner state, and he sustains us so that anxieties don't overwhelm us. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10 tells us, "The God of all grace will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast." This may not be the easiest thing to do, but can we identify moments this year where we can say we have taken another step in faith, in our life as disciples, and where we can see the ultimately, it is indeed he who has done this work in us? It is the sum of all these steps we have managed to take that compels us to say, "Without the Lord, I would never have made it." The list could go on. But if we look ahead to the coming new year, we can try to set ourselves goals. Here are some suggestions. Not tricks or self-suggestion techniques, but realistic encouragement drawn from the Word. Here too, it's up to each of us to reflect on what needs work in our faith, in our own lives, in our interaction with others. But I'll share a few points that seem important to me, hoping they will at least partially resonate with those you consider important. Firstly, look ahead to the future, because with God, the best is yet to come. Don't give in to the temptation to remain obsessed with the past, with sterile nostalgia. It is Ecclesiastes who warns us, "Do not say that the former days were better." Let us not use our past experiences to harbour regrets, but to redouble our trust in the one who does not change and who remains the faithful God. Secondly, decide, because it is truly a matter of will. Decide to praise God and proclaim his greatness. Not only when we have received a magnificent answer to our prayers, but also when we are still at an impasse, when the end of the tunnel is not yet in sight. Be able to worship the Lord with the same sincerity and fervour when everything is going wrong. Yes, I know it's impossible, but God can perform this miracle in us since he asks us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Next point, waiting in silence for the Lord's help. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 26 tells us he is good. This doesn't necessarily mean being passive. Waiting for help obviously means remaining attentive. It means going deeper in paying attention to what God tells us in his word. Being attentive to the message God addresses to us means taking the time to listen, to seek to understand. Knowing this message and being faithful to it isn't simply being able to recite it, that is, Bible verses. It means receiving it with respect and humility and submitting to it. And this necessary effort isn't always easy. We revisited this very recently during our last Bible study. This word that transcends us, that surpasses us and highlights our limitations, compels us to humility. Truly let go of certain burdens. Unresolved conflicts, grudges, lingering feelings of revenge. And decide to forgive and ask for forgiveness, once and for all, perhaps after months or even years. Finally, take the step of surrendering and relinquishing to the other their debt, just as God has remitted ours. Acknowledge our own wrongs and let love replace pride. And if the blockage seems insurmountable, surrender to God and his justice. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Next, cultivate joy and contentment. And again, the daily news won't help us with that. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And then, what about gratitude? I'm going to ask you a very personal question, which I ask you not to answer. Have you ever given someone a gift that cost you absolutely nothing? A gift you received that ended up being more of a burden? So let's think again, perhaps in a new way, about what God's ultimate gift cost him. It was his own life that Jesus offered. Let's not give in to the impression that he was God, everything was possible for him. God does what he wants. He paid an unimaginable price for us. And that is what gives us endless gratitude. Let God love us. How? By doing nothing, by abandoning once and for all the reflex to do things to please God, to gain his favour. It's so deeply ingrained in our nature. Accept that he loves us as we are, that he doesn't ask us to be someone else, but who we are. And finally, the most important thing of all. Above all, love the Lord with all our heart. This is the first thing God has asked of his people from the beginning at Sinai. And it's what Jesus himself confirms very clearly. It may seem basic, but in reality, do we truly have a genuine and intense desire for it? Couldn't this goal become our big project for this year? In fact, it will lead to everything else. So how? Well, my friends, this is where the heart of the message begins. What you just heard was a brief introduction. The core of the reflection is now for each of you, with an answer to be found for each day that comes to this question. How can I today love God with all my heart, with all my strength, and with all my mind? Starting the year with this goal opens the right door to a blessed Christian life and to the glory of God. Amen.